The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, if I seem tired in my voice, it's probably because I'm extremely tired. I'm faking only being tired. That's acting. When you're extremely tired and you only seem tired, that's being a professional. I'm so exhausted because yesterday was the launch day of the book, my new book, Letter to the American Church. And oh, my goodness, I did so much media, which is a blessing, but it is absolutely exhausting. I even did stuff yesterday that they didn't air yesterday, but I was on with Charlie Kirk in, I guess at 2 o'clock. He had me on for the whole hour.
Yep.
And it was pretty extraordinary, really, to do an hour with Charlie. And I think that accounts for, here's the good news, Albin, I think you just mentioned it to me, but the book hit the top 100 on Amazon.
Yes.
Yesterday, which I have to tell you, and it's still in the top 100 right now. That's a big deal, folks. So any of you who ordered the book in the last few days in particular, I want to say thank you, because I know I mention this every time I come out with a book, but it is really vital to the success of a book that it do very well in the beginning and that it bump onto bestseller lists. Otherwise, it pretty much gets forgotten. It's one of those, it kind of feeds on itself. If it does well out of the gate, it gets more attention. So I've been posting on my social media, and if you get my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com, some terrific interviews that people have done with me about the book, just to give you an idea of what's in it if you haven't read it. But it hit number 65 sometime in the middle of the night. And this morning when I got up, I think it was at 70 or 71 or something like that on the Amazon. Now, that's the only way we can know, because these other bestseller lists are, you know, weeks and weeks in advance. But for it to be in the top 100 on Amazon with a title like Letter to the American Church, that's kind of a big deal. And, you know, Albin, I know I've said this to you, but I will say this to the audience. I ask for your prayers, folks, because we're in a tremendous battle right now. And when I say we, I mean in the country. We are, as you know, facing things. The reason I wrote the book is because I flat out say that if we do not wake up, if the church does not wake up and heroically, courageously fight for the truth and speak the truth, God will hold us accountable. And I'll say that flatly, that it is the fault of American Christians for the state of Christianity. For the state of America. It's the fault of the church for the state of America. The church is supposed to be the conscience of the nation, in the words of Bonhoeffer. We're supposed to be the voice for the voiceless. And when we're silent on every one of these hot button issues, it doesn't matter where you look. The tremendous overreach of the government and of social of big tech in bullying us during the pandemic, all of this stuff, which is out of the Marxist playbook, it's big state, it's the opposite of liberty. These things are evil, and they are, no matter where you look. You've had most in the church be silent, be compliant, which is precisely like the German church, which is what I say. So it really is a battle. This is not about selling books. This is about getting a message out, because it is my belief that this is where things stand right now, and that the American church will go precisely on the path of the German church unless we understand where we have erred, why we have been silent. In the book, I try to explain why good people are still being silent or are saying things like, oh, we're being too political. We shouldn't be political. We've mistaken the gospel for politics. No, that is not the issue. Maybe some people have done that, but most people have done the opposite. Most people have been silent in the name of what they think is the gospel, and they have refused to be involved, whether politically or in any other way. That is why we are in these bleak, in the bleak situation in which we find ourselves. So now, Albin, today we are airing two exciting hours. Yeah. I'm speaking to Megan Basham. She's a hero, folks. I want to tell you, she is one of the few voices, particularly in the Christian community, speaking clarity and truth. She will be on this show in hour two, in hour one, in a couple of minutes. We're going to air. Albin interviewed me about the book, just so you don't have to look anyplace beyond the show. We just did it right here. But Albin interviews me about the book. But if you sign up for the newsletter, ericmetaxas.com, we'll send you all kinds of stuff, because there's just honestly all kinds of stuff that we want to share with you. I have to mention, Albin, last night, Suzanne gets a call from her sister that the code Eric is not working at mystore.com or mypillow.com.
No, you got to be kidding
so
me.
I said, that doesn't make sense. So I checked and it wasn't working. So I immediately texted Mike Lindell. Now, if you want to know how insane Mike Lindell is, Mike Lindell is on all the time. He immediately texts me back. We're looking into it. I mean, I find him superhuman. The man is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was fixed within a few hours. At least it was fixed for me. But if you had problem when you went to mystore.com or mypillow.com using the code Eric, that was fixed. So I did want to mention that.
Yeah. And please order the coffee. Ann and I are almost finished with our first 2-pound bag. You got to get the coffee. It is amazing.
It's funny that he got into the coffee business, isn't it? I find it hilarious. Like he the sleep guy got into the coffee business. Yeah. Wake up and go to sleep. So we should also mention I am today flying to Dallas. I'm going to be on Daystar TV. I'm going to be with John Smirak doing something for the stream, which will air ASAP. I'm speaking at a conference on Friday. I always forget the name of the conference, the Wake Up Conference in Dallas, in Rowlett, Texas. If you can get to that, please get to that. And then you don't want to forget Sunday. If you can get to Times Square in New York City, folks, it's going to be crazy. There's going to be a Let Us Worship event with Sean Foyt. I'm going to be there. I'm in the film Super Spreader. There's going to be a screening of the film after that. I think the theater is now full. So I don't know. I don't know. What do I know? I just got to show up. And we don't want to forget Socrates in the City with Andrew Klavan is coming up Tuesday. That's 6 days from today. I don't believe this. 6 days from today. Andrew Klavan, Socrates in the City. It's just nuts. Now, tomorrow, I think we have a John Smirak tomorrow?
Yes, we've got John Smirak tomorrow.
Okay, so we have Ask Metaxas. We have John Smirak. We got a number of other things tomorrow. I think we got Joel Rosenberg tomorrow. And on Friday, folks,
Great
Dick Morris. Dick Morris is amazing. In fact, I think he's going to be at the Socrates event. If you ever wanted to meet Dick Morris, the guy is a legend. I just want to tell you, he is absolutely astonishing. But the Socrates in the City event, if you go to socratesinthecity.com, you can sign up for that. And I do say, if you know somebody, like a young person in the New York area, this would be a wonderful thing to send them. They're always attractive young people wearing jackets and ties and, you know, dresses. And it's just, it's kind of a beautiful event. And Alvin, are you going to be there on Sunday?
I'm going to try to be there on Sunday. I'm having a procedure done on Thursday.
We can't talk about that on the air. We can't talk about it on the air. Okay. Anyway, folks, so we got Megan Basham. We have Alvin interviewing me. If you haven't gotten a copy of the new book, Letter to the American Church, please do it today. Yeah. God bless you. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Is the government the best mechanism for fighting poverty? Are there any real-life examples of communities successfully combating addiction and homelessness today? How can we best deliver hope to our nation? Those questions get answered September 23rd on SalemNow.com in an inspiring new motion picture from Kingstone Studios based on a true story. In No Vacancy, a demoted journalist finds her cynicism slowly transformed as she befriends a recovering addict while working a story about a church struggling to purchase a motel for homeless families. No Vacancy, starring Dean Cain, T.C. Stallings, and Sean Young, is based on the true story of First Baptist Leesburg, Florida, and a real location, the Samaritan Inn. Movie reviewers are saying movies like this bring purpose to the big screen. Well produced and the acting is tops. Enough cannot be said about how incredible this true story is, and this film does it justice. Pre-order it September 19th at SalemNow.com. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD on Friday, September 23rd at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Hey folks, as you know, we do wacky things on this program. For example, sometimes I say, okay, Alvin, you're the host, I'm the guest. This was your idea. You wanted to interview me about my new book, Letter to the American Church. And I thought, well, I've been doing all kinds of interviews, but wouldn't it be fun to have you,
yes,
whom I know,
yes,
to have you interview me. So if you want to, I will try to answer your hard-hitting journalistic questions about my new book, okay, Letter to the American Church, which I presume you've glanced through.
Yeah, I did. And I'm all pumped up, by the way. This is my journalistic self, and I've never taken a course in journalism, but I'm ready. Okay.
But you really did read the book. I'm joking around.
I did. From front to cover. I put copious notes
from
in here.
From front to cover.
Yeah. Oh, front to back,
I guess. That was like a trick.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you can see.
I read the cover from front to the front cover.
I read. Okay. Yeah, the dust jacket. Okay. You know what? So many of these chapter titles lead to explanation.
Yeah.
And of course, you flesh things out. But I love this title, and I'd love to hear what you want to say about this.
Yeah.
The idol of evangelism. Why is that an idol?
Yeah. Think about this.
Yeah.
If you think about this, we have to think about this spiritually, right? The enemy, Satan, cannot create anything. Only God can create. So all the enemy can do is pervert what is already created, twist it, steal it. So the worst thing that evil does is create something that looks close to what God did but is twisted, is perverted. In other words, to make a counterfeit, right? Like, you know, a counterfeit dollar bill, a counterfeit $100 bill, the closer it looks to the real thing, the more it will fool people. And so you think, let's take a good thing, if we're the devil, and let's just pervert it slightly to fool those who really love that good thing. So what's one of the greatest things in the history of the world? Evangelism, the idea of leading people to faith. I can say from my own experience that when Jesus came into my life, it changed everything. And in some cases, it's more dramatic. In some cases, but no matter how it happens, it's the most beautiful thing. So many Christians, myself among them, have rightly understood bringing the faith to those who don't have it is one of the most glorious, beautiful things a human being can do, to share this beautiful thing that you've been given freely. But here's where the problem comes in. A lot of people, particularly in the evangelical church, have made an idol of evangelism. When I say made an idol, in other words, they're kind of worshiping the idea of sharing the faith with somebody and bringing somebody to Jesus more than they are worshiping Jesus himself. Instead of evangelism being an outworking of your faith in the God of the Bible, it almost becomes an idol. It does become an idol. And the reason I put it this way is because in the book I say, I have noticed that there are people, for the sake of theoretically bringing someone to Christian faith, they will say nothing that's potentially controversial. In other words, if you're talking to somebody about, you're having a conversation with somebody, and you wisely would say, well, you know what, I'm not going to bring up the issue of abortion because I know this person, that's going to be a trigger for them, right? Now, sometimes I think that's the right thing to do. You're not supposed to talk about every controversial thing. You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about faith in Christ, right? But there's some people who've made a policy of this so that from the pulpit, wherever they are, they won't talk about anything that the other person might disagree with. And I think to myself, ladies and gentlemen, there's a time when you must do that. And so if the church has been silenced and you say, I will not talk about anything bearing on politics, here's the problem. In 1985, that might have made sense. In 1995, in 2005, it might have made sense. We're at a point now where if you refuse to talk about the idea of critical race theory, which is Marxist, infiltrating the churches, fooling people, if you refuse to talk about the transgender madness, destroying lives, destroying young bodies and futures, if you refuse to talk about these things because you say, well, I don't want to drive somebody away from Jesus, in theory, I get that. But it has become so widespread that the church has been silenced on key issues. And yeah. It is the job of the church to speak truth. Bonhoeffer was willing to say things, and people said, oh, listen, the Nazis might come to faith. Don't bring that up. Don't bring that up.
Yeah.
There is a time when God is looking to his people to speak the truth. Wilberforce spoke the truth on the slave trade. People told him to shut up. Bonhoeffer spoke the truth about what the Nazis meant to do to the church. People said, shut up. Don't be controversial. Don't be political. And there are pastors that we know, I'm not going to mention them, I touch on some of them in the book, who really would be happy to almost go along with evil for the theoretical idea of leading someone to faith. And I just think to myself, this has become epidemic. In other words, if this once in a while you're in a conversation, you think, well, I'm not going to bring up the, I get that, okay? But this has become epidemic. And we have pastors now openly saying, do not be political. It's not gospel related. You've only got to speak about quote unquote gospel related issues. Yeah. And I think if you're not talking about some of this evil stuff that is happening, what gospel do you have to preach? You're afraid to speak truth. Jesus, by the way, spoke a lot of truth that pushed a lot of people away. I don't think anybody cared more about leading souls to eternity than Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I explain it more in the book, but that's the
nutshell
version.
You have so many examples with Paul and with the writings and with Jesus himself. What I like, and I've heard you in churches and even on this show with guests, you talk about not so much leading people to Christ with what you say, but leading, just waking people up to reality, to reality. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
And you're saying just show the people what is actually true.
Right.
And truth is a person, as you write here. The person is Jesus Christ, the Word. And by showing people reality, and you know, nowadays it's easy enough to show people reality about what's happening to our children in the classroom.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, oh, it's a, theoretically it's happening. No, this is reality.
I think this is a good point, is that what happens to people, this is, I'm talking about Christians, they become, in the pejorative sense, religious. They only talk about religious things and theological things. And you think, folks, God is the God of reality. He created reality. He is truth. So whenever you're doing justice to truth or reality, you're leading people to God. So if I'm talking about the fact, the scientific fact that there is male and female, that's it, okay? I don't even have to bring up God, because there are tons of people who are not self-identifying as evangelical Christians that they see, this is just crazy. You mean 10 minutes ago, somebody like in a lab discovered more genders and we've all got to change our thinking. This is not science. This is just madness and ideology. And so all you have to do is witness to the truth and to reality, because most people see that. Most people know that. And when you do that, there are tons of people that are not people of faith that they're led to faith, because they say, yes, it makes sense. I now see where that other stuff leads, and it leads to lunacy, to talking to little children, asking them what pronouns they prefer. That's child abuse. Most people, most parents and grandparents get that. You don't need to be a Bible-believing Christian to understand that that is child abuse. It is wicked. It is sick. And I thought to myself, if the church is being silent on these issues, God is judging us right now, because we are, God requires us to speak the truth. You know, more than anyone, he requires us to speak the truth.
50 years from now, people will be looking back at us, just like we look back at the German people and say, why didn't they do something? 50 years from now, people will look at us and say, why didn't they do something? It was obvious.
Yeah, they're going to. I mean, there's a lot of the stuff that's been going on, whether it's with the vaccines or whether it's with the voting fraud or whatever. This stuff is going to come out. And so the idea that it's like, well, I better shut up, I better be careful, it's all going to come out. And so if you're a Christian, I guess this is the book, you know, I just say, if you are a Christian, it's called Letter to the Church, a letter to the American Church. If you're a Christian, you are obliged. God has put you here to speak the truth. And when you speak the truth, you will find, ironically, people will be drawn to the God you claim to worship, because you show the courage of your convictions and because you say, I don't care what the results are about my job or this or that. I believe in doing what is right and true and speaking the truth. And so when you are speaking the truth, when you're not silent on all these issues, ironically, more people will come to faith. But if all you're worried about is not offending somebody and keeping your mouth shut and saying nothing, you are ultimately going to drive people away from the thin-lipped pseudo-gospel that you claim to be preaching. We're going to a break. Alban is interviewing me about Letter to the American Church. We'll be right back. You've heard and seen most of the truth behind the events of January 6th, and now you can visit Washington, D.C. on September 24th and join J6 Solidarity and their peaceful and patriotic event that will expose the entire truth of January 6th at our nation's capital, and not just what mainstream media has lied about. Join J6 Solidarity and their well-known guest speakers to discuss the wrongful arrest and incarceration of all the January 6th patriots. Hear what speakers like Salem Media's Dinesh D'Souza, Newsmax's Johnny Tabacco, Joel Altman, the host of Conservative Daily Podcast, Professor David Clements, and many more have to say. This peaceful event will take place on September 24th in Washington, D.C., next to the Federal District Court. For all the details, go to their website, the letter J, the number 6solid.com. That's J6solid.com. Don't have your head in the sand. Learn the truth. Go to J6solid.com now. Thank you for your time, your patriotic loyalty, and as always, God bless America. J6solid.com. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the three-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Folks, welcome back. Albin,
yes,
is interviewing me about my new book, Letter to the American Church. It's kind of kooky. It's my show, but I get to be a guest.
Can
so,
you believe that?
All right, get a hit yeah. me with now, a hard now, question. Yeah.
Now, on the front, it talks about your other book, of course, Bonhoeffer, and Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, and Spy. And in this book, you reveal two things that had been questions in my head for many years. One of them was the phrase religionless Christianity, because people were debating, well, Bonhoeffer at the end, he backed away from Christianity right. and that sort of thing. And you explain why there was a confusion about that. And the second thing is, like, why would he get involved in a plot to kill Hitler? Isn't that murder? Why
right.
would he do that?
Right.
You explained it so incredibly clearly, and maybe you could touch on both of those phrases and both of those actions.
Yeah, these are two huge misunderstandings. Yeah. And when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, and I would do Q&A after I'd speak, and I would always get these questions,
yeah.
you know. So the first one is, when I began to write about Bonhoeffer, I didn't know what I would find, because there had been this idea out there among theological liberals and agnostics and atheists that Bonhoeffer drifted away from the faith at the end of his life. Mm-hmm. And he used this phrase, religionless Christianity, and they used that phrase, they perverted it to make it sound like he drifted away from Christianity. And when I looked into it myself, I said, it is exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
He basically said that playing church, all these Germans going to church and going through the motions, they were being merely religious in the negative sense. They were not living out their faith. I would say this is true of much of the American church today. You say, well, I believe this, and I believe this, and I go to Bible study. God doesn't care. He cares on whether you are living out your faith. If you really believe what you claim to believe, you're going to be living it out. So Bonhoeffer saw that the rise of the Nazis was made possible by Christians who were not being fully Christian. They were merely being religious. And he said the only way to stand against evil, which is what we're facing today in the American church, is to be deeply, truly Christian 24/7, not to say, well, I go to church and I went to the Bible study and I believe. You have to live out your faith 24/7. Now, what does that look like? I don't think it means you're going to be a religious fanatic, but you're going to be a truth fanatic. You're going to be a courage fanatic. You're going to say, I have been freed because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. I've been freed to speak the truth in love, not to fear anything, much less death, because Jesus actually defeated death. And I know that's true. It's not a nice idea. And so Bonhoeffer said, nothing less than that, nothing less than a religionless Christianity can stand against evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I see exactly that. Folks, that is what God is calling the American church to today, is a religionless Christianity. Forget your pieties, whatever. Live out your faith self-sacrificially. Agape love, the love of God, is self-sacrificial. It means that I know that God calls me to sacrifice for others, many of whom I'll never meet, to do the right thing, to speak truth on all these issues for the benefit of strangers. But God will honor that. So that's what God is looking yeah. for. And then the question of Bonhoeffer, I mean, this is like hilarious. People say, look, how could a man of God get involved in a plot to murder the head of state? And I say, first of all, it's not murder, okay? There are killing. David did not murder Goliath. He killed Goliath, but there are times, you know, when you're defending your family, if you use self-defense, that's not called murder, right? It's killing. Killing is always lamentable, but it's not murder. Bonhoeffer made a decision. He said, look, I know that Hitler and the Nazis are overseeing the murder of millions of innocents, mostly Jews, but others as well. If I don't do something, now, if you're a combatant in a war, you would have no problem, you know, killing the enemy. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to rape your daughters. You are in a war. Bonhoeffer was making this larger calculation that now the time has come for us, for the sake of Germany, that we have to take a side in this war against the wicked leadership of the Nazis. So this was not murder. And Bonhoeffer even said, you know, if you have a maniac driving a car down the street, killing people with the car, don't you think some sniper would take out the driver to save the lives of the innocents being killed by the car? That's not murder. That's protecting the innocent. And so it's kind of fascinating how oftentimes we think very sloppily. And I realized part of the reason I wrote the book is to clarify a lot of the sloppy thinking that we have had in the church with regard to what is faith, what is required of me, and all those kinds of things. The story of Bonhoeffer, because I know we're going to a break, but just to finish on Bonhoeffer here, I have to say that he tried really hard to get the church to speak up. He tried and tried and tried and tried, and because the church refused to hear what he was saying and to act out on this until it was too late, what happened to Germany and to the world, it's like one of the greatest nightmares in history. And what I'm saying in this book is that the silence of the American church now, literally now, not in a few years, now, is leading to something similar. And that if those of us who have ears to hear this and understand that now is the time for us to do what the Germans did not do. They waited and waited and waited, and then it was too late. It's going to be too late in 5 minutes. If we do the right thing now, we can avert disaster. If we don't, disaster will come. There's no question in my mind, and that's why I say it as dramatically as I do. I know we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Lord, I don't know nature's way.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to my listeners. That's you. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're now all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer, because there's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057 now and use the promo code ERIC, or you can go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use the promo code ERIC. This offer will not last very long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. Promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com.
Was going out. Well,
folks, welcome back.
In.
It's my program, the Eric Metaxas Show, but oddly enough, I am the hunted. I am the guest, and Albin is playing the role of host, asking me questions about my new book, Letter to the American Church.
Yes. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. You know what I really like? Of course, it's the Letter to the American Church, so it's got some churchy stuff in there, like scripture verses.
Yeah.
I was really happy to see Galatians 5:1. 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. One verse, and the other one, which is, I say, will be on my tombstone, hopefully, about 30 or 32 years from now, John 17:4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's a call to all of us because we are born for such a time as this, believe it or not. But the one verse I saw missing, which I think is so key today, is Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinking. The pattern of this world keeps telling Christians, don't be political, keeps telling Christians, you know, shut up, or you're a bigot, or you're this or that. And the Christians say, like, I guess I am, instead of saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible. That's the renewing
right.
of our mind.
And the Passion Translation response is, no, you shut up. No, but it's kind of funny because I think, again, we have to be clear theologically, the enemy is going to play on our weaknesses. And a lot of Christians, particularly in America, they're nice people. And they want to be nice. And so when somebody accuses them of whatever it is, the tendency is to be like, oh, okay. And I think there's a time when we have to say, no, that's wrong. And I think because we've lived in such blessed times in this country, that muscle has atrophied in us yeah. where we say, no, I will not do this. I will not do that. That is, I will not close my church. I will not get the vaccine. I will not shut up about what's going on politically. I will not put a BLM flag mm-hmm. Outside of my building. I will not put a rainbow flag. I'm a Christian and I have freedom and I'm going to speak the truth. Why? Because I believe it will bless others. Not for me. This is, forget about me. We're supposed to live for others. And I really think that the church has an opportunity now to live out our faith. And the quote from John about completing the work, mm-hmm. I think, and this is part of what I touch on in the book, there are plenty of people that think everything's about evangelism. They forget that the minute you come to faith, God can now use you for the purpose for which you were born into this world, which is to do works that he has called you, that he's prepared for you in advance to do.
Yeah.
And one of those things is to stand up heroically in the midst of chaos, to speak the truth, to give hope to those who are confused, who don't see hope. And I really do think that that's kind of the key, is that we've got in the American church, one of the heresies that we've kind of drifted toward is the idea that it's just about evangelism and what I do, how I live, it doesn't matter, except for whether it will lead somebody to faith or something like that. And I think if you're living in Wilberforce's time,
yeah.
The slave trade was one of the most horrible things imaginable. If you love God, you would work against the slave trade. And there are many people who said, nah, that doesn't concern me. There are things going on today, folks, whether you're talking about fentanyl coming over the border, open borders, people dying of drug overdoses. You're supposed to care about those people. You're supposed to care about what's going on in China. Uyghur Muslims are being murdered for their organs, and we do business with China. We look the other way. LeBron James, you know, tells us to shut up about that stuff. I mean, if the church does not speak the truth, who's supposed to speak the truth? We are deputized by God to speak the truth on every one of these issues.
Yeah.
And when people tell you, oh, you're just being political, you could say, well, yeah. I'm just being truthful.
And I'll tell you, the hopeful stuff, which we can, is in your book as well. It's not just like, oh, things are terrible, and unless you get up and do something. You actually show great, great examples. You, of course, Wilberforce, of course, Bonhoeffer. But you talk about Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
Just a phrase. In our lifetime, we said communism would never end in Russia. Never end. But Reagan, with just a phrase that everybody said, shut up and sit down, don't say it, you're going to mess the pot up. And I can, and you'll explain that in a second. But I can think of something else that we thought would never end in our lifetime: abortion.
Bingo.
And yet there was somebody that actually said they were going to do just that.
All you had to do is vote for a thrice married philandering New York real estate developer.
Why would you do that, though?
I would never dirty my hands.
Not me.
Let the unborn be murdered.
Come on.
What do I care?
Yeah.
I just don't want to vote for mean people. Yeah. Well, that's kind of where we are, and this is why. This is a kind of a call to reality, folks, that God is going to judge us on, you know, am I trying to cover my rear end? It's like, I don't want to vote for somebody who my neighbors say he's mean or something like
that. I love the thing about Rahab, the prostitute.
Oh, man.
God used a prostitute in the line of Jesus. How could that be? She's a prostitute.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's like if you really understand what the Bible says, you don't have this kind of cavalier religious view that it's about being nice and I'm not going to tell the Gestapo man a lie and I'll cooperate with the FBI and just, you know, it's Romans 13. Folks, here's the problem. That's not biblical. Yeah. It's not God's will. And the Reagan thing, I got to tell you, Albin, this kind of ties into the whole thing about how God often uses people outside the church, okay? Whether it's Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan or anybody, Cyrus in the Old Testament, God often uses people outside the church to shame the church and to say to the church, if you are not going to do what I require, I will find someone outside the church to show you something. And the fact that Ronald Reagan was used by God. Now, Ronald Reagan was not some, you know, he was pro-Christian, kind of like Trump. But where he actually stood, his wife is consulting astrologers. And, you know, I don't know. All I know is he did the right thing. And he dared to say what the safe, religious, rhino, whatever establishment, they said, oh, you can't say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. No, 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 no. Let's just play patty cake with the devil. Let's not confront the devil. We don't really want to win. We don't want to free people from the Soviet gulag. Let them rot. We just want to, let's play it safe. And Reagan said, no, I'm going to say it. And at the last chapter of the book, I talk about what he said. We're at a time when we come back, we can probably touch on that. Okay. We're doing something kooky here today. Albin is interviewing me about my new book, Letter to the American Church. Albin, what other hard-hitting journalistic questions?
I wrote down, I made so many notes on so many pages, so many questions I wrote down. But the thing that I really loved about it, because I finished it last night, I was actually reading it to Anne. She wanted me to read it to her so she could get sleepy. But, you know, you wake people up with some of this stuff, I got to tell you. But the best part about this book, it does have a hopeful ending.
Yeah.
And it's the chapter even before you get into talking about some examples, not only from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and history of the past, but with Ronald Reagan, I just love that you touched on that, and it's because of that we have examples in our own lifetime. It's not just, oh, well, those guys, that was what they lived through and all that. No, we're older, of course, and there are young people, you know, that might not experience some of this. But to think about Reagan and what he did.
But there always have been voices. I mean, really, it's the voice of the devil that says, we can't win. Mm-hmm. We can't win. Don't do anything. Just go to your caves. Just give up. That's the voice of the devil. And I want to tell you, it's like the voice of Mrs. Danvers in the movie Rebecca. You know, just jump out the window and end it. It would be so easy. It's the voice of the devil just telling you, don't fight. It's over. There's no winning. I'm here to tell you, people said that to me when Trump was running against Hillary. Like, don't stick your neck out. There's not a chance he's going to win. And when she wins, you'll be in big trouble. You know, like, and you think, I'm just supposed to fight for what is right and true and put the results in God's hands. Reagan said, I'm supposed to fight. The people who've been fighting for Roe v. Wade all these years, they've been told it will never change. The Soviet Union will never go down.
Yeah.
That's the voice of the devil that says, do not fight. And I'm telling you right now in America, if things look hopeless, I promise you, folks, if you will do what is right, whatever you can do, we all have a different role to play. I hope that there are pastors who will be persuaded by what I wrote in this book, and they'll say, you know what? Yes. I kind of bought into some of this, and I think I was wrong. I'm going to be a little bit more vocal. I'm going to talk about this. Okay. If you do that, folks, I promise you that is God's will, and it is his will to lead us out of this mess, yeah, to lead people to faith. But we each have to do our part.
There are so many bullies out there these days, and that's what they are. They're pushing and pushing and pushing. I talk about this in an article I wrote, Who Died and Made You Boss? They think, hey, I'm a boss now. I'm telling you. And we're like, we have the word of God. How can you be above the boss of bosses, eh?
Well, again, if you don't know who God is, really, you're going to let people push you around.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll say it again. This is the main reason I wrote the book, is because this is exactly what happened in Germany. In the 30s, before they had any clue where this was going, they just assumed, my job is to be a nice Christian and just to preach the little gospel in my church so that they don't shut me down. And you think, no, it was your job, we now know, to speak the truth and to fight the wickedness of what was coming, to be willing to see it and to fight against it. Bonhoeffer tried to get you to do that. God was trying to get you to do that. They didn't do it. And they paid a price, which we have to understand, it is unimaginable. It was unimaginable to them. We're going through the same thing. I'm just going to say it bluntly again. If you think that can't happen here, I guarantee you it will happen here. It is happening here unless the church repent of its silence. It's why I think God led me to write the book. And I trust that God is in charge of the results. Yeah. But I feel this is where we are.
Yeah.
And I beg people to give it a hearing, to just see, am I getting something wrong? I don't think so, but you tell me. We're out of time. Alvin, thank you so much for
your
kooky idea. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.